Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and I am back with an author spotlight. Joining me for this special episode is author Kelly Kay. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to chat with you. It's been a minute since we've gotten to chat about books.
Yes, or anything.
Really, anything. So on this episode of a quick shot, well, I guess we're not calling them quick shots anymore. On this author spotlight, we are going to talk with Kelly about her upcoming release, Keep Tuscany. And actually, it'll be a brand new release. Woo-hoo. The day this episode drops,
it will be.
Kelly's book will be out in the world, live, for everyone to read.
KU.
Well, and you're doing a Monday drop, right?
Yeah.
Which is new for you.
It is. I've done a bunch of Thursday drops. It was not my choice.
Okay.
Because I originally had a Thursday, and I was incredibly ambitious. The book previous to this one was in the Winery series, in the Sonoma series, which I have officially renamed the Sonoma series since that's what everyone calls it.
It's what I call it. So yeah, makes sense.
Right. So Bottled Up came out in March, I think it was March or April. And then I thought I could turn this one around by July. And, no. So called Kindle and said, hey, can I push this even further than the month? Is that okay? Because on KU, you get kicked out of pre-orders if you delay the book too often.
Right.
And so you only have a very specific amount of time, and it's usually like a month or whatever it is. So they said, all right, we can push it to this date, and that's the furthest. Turns out that was a Monday.
Perfect.
So it's a day release to start your week.
Well, it'll be great. But I think it's kind of interesting, too, because you can see how it works for you, for your readers, you know, versus a Thursday. Uh-huh. Maybe we'll see more eyes on it that week.
That'd be great.
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. So I'm going to share your bio for those who might not have ever listened to us chat before.
All right.
Kelly Kay has watched When Harry Met Sally 214 times. Okay, but I question, this bio is a bit old. How many times have we watched it recently?
We have not.
Okay.
That is actually accurate at the moment. I have not rewatched it this summer because I have this weird thing that when I'm writing a certain type of character or a certain type of book, I don't read that type of book or I don't listen to that type of movie or anything like that because I end up kind of channeling it and I don't want to do that. So I didn't suffer because of Tuscany.
So she, let's see here. She's a Chicago-based author known for her witty, emotional rom-coms that blend humor, heartbreak, and plenty of kissing. Married to a fellow writer and mom to a creative 12-year-old. Wait.
He's 13.
He's 13 now. Kelly balances her love for lipstick, Chuck Taylors with a cup of coffee or a glass of white wine, which is always nearby, and Bic purple flare pens.
Yes.
We must have the purple Bic flare pens.
We do, but we're out because we just... Oh, no, here's one.
She found one.
I did find one. We are out of a lot of them because it was a rather heavy paper edit. So I used.
So how does your process work, Kelly? Let's talk about that a minute because you kind of are an ideas person first. You brainstorm right on Windows.
I do. Now I write on the whiteboard and I have a whole like post-it system. I'm just showing this to Becky.
I was going to say they can't see you. They're only getting audio.
I know. So it's a whole post-it system. It's like a piece of cardboard with a bunch of posts I can move around. And then it goes to the board and then it's like blocked. It comes to me as dialogue. It comes to me as characters. It comes to me in my head. I will write a scene or a chapter from the middle of the book first.
Okay.
So there's the pantser aspect of that. But it comes to me as characters and dialogue. I hear them before I ever figure out what the hell they're doing or how they separated or how they got together or anything, or it'll come as a meet cute.
Yeah. Well,
And then I will write as much as is in my head and stop and then plot.
then plot. So this current series that you have is the Boston Brothers, and it is a series of all second chances.
Correct, which is your favorite.
Which is, I don't mind second chances as long as nobody
Okay.
was ridiculous to begin with.
No, no
And
one's
none of these were
ridiculous.
ridiculous. Nobody was ridiculous in
No,
this
and
book.
someone recently pointed out what's interesting about the Boston Brothers series is that, yes, it's all second chance, but you see the first chance.
You
Like
do
the
too.
first section of each one of these books, even the novella, is their first chance.
So, what inspired, first of all, why second chances? Why, what is so magical for you about second chance?
I think that I just love the idea that you can always start again, whether it's with love or life or whatever. And so I don't know, I like doing these because you get to see the human being evolve.
Okay.
That when because they most of them the last book will be a little different, and I'll tell you that in a sec, the Keep Boston, which will be in the spring. But with these first three, which is Keep Paris, Keep Vegas, and Keep Tuscany, these three guys were all 18 years old in Paris on a school trip and met these women, and none of them were prepared to be the man they should be to find the love of their life. And the women were really not prepared
They're
to be
messy.
that forever. And so I liked the idea of coming together when you're not kind of a knucklehead. Like, no offense to 22-year-olds, but you're an idiot at 20. You just
Absolutely.
are. And I totally was. But like, once you get past that moment, you're just like, oh, I get that. Or who you're going to be, or what. I don't know. When you're 18, it's tough to find somebody who, person, even a person in life who's gonna be who they're gonna be at 30.
Yeah.
And so this came out of when I was in high school, I went to Paris with a group of people, and it was like a collection of different high schools, and this story's in the book and all at the end. But this actually happened to me. I hooked up with a bunch of other girls, and we were having a dance party in their room, which was room 666 in this Paris hotel where we were staying for a period of time, and you had to go to classes and field trips and the Louvre and all of that. And someone named Tony, and Tony is actually one of the heroes in these books, called the kind of old school house phone or hotel phone and said, "Are you possessed?" And this woman, who I had known for a couple of hours, said, "No, but why don't you come down and check out my coven?" and hung up. And within 20 minutes, these guys came down from a male prep school. And within an hour, we all hooked up with one of these guys. So,
So you had a random hookup in Paris when you were 18?
yes. Yes.
Spicy,
And
Kelly.
it was, but like, we all spent all of our time together. And, yes, I kissed under the Eiffel Tower, and I have all these magical, like, crazy moments, and never spoke to this person again. So, like, we moved as a pack through all of this, and I was always like kind of fascinated by this memory of like, what if I ever saw or talked to this guy again? Have looked him up on Facebook, and I would not have been his woman. But it's he and I run in different worlds and very different political ideologies. And I was
Different.
like, well, that's interesting. But each one of my friends hooked up with these guys. And so I thought it was kind of an interesting idea. So I based Keep Paris off of my kind of experience a little bit, and made the character up. It's not totally me, but some of those experiences that Lizzie and Danny go through at the beginning of Keep Paris. And then I liked the idea of bringing them back together in different ways. And
Yeah.
so the second one is Tony and Mac, and this one is Maggie and Holt. Keep Tuscany.
So
So I
in
revisit that. Sorry.
you have to revisit. So that's what I was going to talk about. You revisit that first moment in Paris with six different perspectives so far.
Correct. And that'll be that's why the last book will be different, because the last brother who gets a book was 14 when all of this went on.
Okay, so he wasn't in Paris.
So he wasn't in Paris. So this will be the end of all these Paris stories, except for the, well, if you haven't read Keep Paris, I don't want to give anything away, but it'll be the end of revisiting that story, which was actually super, super emotional for me, because
Yeah.
one of the characters is based on a woman named Chris, who, after I wrote Keep Paris, she unfortunately has passed. And so, or right as I was about to write Keep Paris. So she passes in Keep Paris in the future. So it was like getting to revisit this time with my friend,
Yeah.
which was kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun and it's kind of like a really unique homage to those year, to that moment in time in your life that you didn't realize then was going to kind of have this inspirational impact for you down the
No, and there
road.
were never going to be other brothers' books. It was just going to be Keep Paris. And
Well,
then,
yeah, when you plotted the idea, you're like, it's one book, Becky. I'm just going to write the one book.
remember?
And I was like, okay, sure. How many
No.
books are in that
Yeah, seriously. About to be nine.
winery series? How's that going?
Yeah, pretty good. The last book is epic. Oh my God. So hard to write, but so fun. But again, we're looking at a timeline that's like a nightmare.
So, well, and that's one of the things that I was thinking about. Like, as I read Keep Paris and Keep Vegas, your timelines are very reliant on each other because there's still connections. There's crossover, but you absolutely can read these as standalones. Like, you do not have to read them in
Yes.
order, and you don't have to read them.
No.
And you can just read one. Like, if you just want to know about Tuscany, you can just read about Tuscany.
There is
But
a chapter, I think it's two chapters, one from her perspective, like a couple in the middle. There was a the other reason that I'm writing the first and second chances is because it's a little selfish. I really love writing a meet cute, so I get to write a meet cute and then a re-meet cute.
so you get two
So
meet cutes per book.
the re-meet cute in Vegas is actually another perspective in Tuscany, because they have to see each other. And if I don't address that too, plus it helped drive the center of the plot,
Yeah.
like drive the middle of the book. So
So one of the other things that's really prevalent in these three stories across the board is this soulmate fated to love. They are your person, almost this cosmic pull between them. What inspires you? What inspired you to do that? Because it's not, it sounds very romantic and it sounds like, oh my gosh, we probably have that all the time in romance. We actually don't see that very often in romance.
no,
I mean, paranormal,
no, you
yes, but
don't.
not contemporary.
You don't. And not even in real life. I mean, it's odd. And this is going to sound like I'm bragging, but I have experienced that. My husband, I often describe, when we started talking, it was like somebody turned on a light, and I went, "Oh, okay, good. There you are."
Like I can
And
see. Yeah.
yeah. And this is, we just 25 years married, 29
Yeah.
together. Like it happens, but it,
I
I
think.
guess I liked throwing in all of the middle so that at 18, when you felt that, maybe you, it's all almost sliding doors moments. Like things could have gone this way, especially with Tuscany. Tuscany, what they end up facing is very, very outside of their control. And had they at 18 had the wherewithal that they have at 30, oh good God, don't ask me how old they are, 32 and 33. It may have been different, but it's not. So that's just what it is.
Well,
What
and I think
excites.
one of the things that comes with writing soulmates, to have that fated, destined piece, you can kind of make things a little messier, because however messy you make it, at the other side, this is where they're supposed to be. So it might not be easy. You're not going to have the realization at 18. It might take you until you're 22, 27, 28 to realize that that's your person. But you can kind of be messy a little bit in their story.
This is super messy. Like it's super, super messy. There are outside factors from all over them. They both get married to other people, and finishing that those stories out, one of them might be my favorite thing I've ever written. The end of Maggie's marriage. But yeah, you can get real messy because it's fine. Like I've written, like you can't, you're right, you're absolutely right. You can't get that messy with friends to lovers. Like I've written messy friends to lovers, and you had to pull it back because you had to like, oh God, the base of them being friends
Well, you don't
doesn't
want,
necessarily mean they will end up together.
right, because you don't want to make it so messy that you do damage to the friendship or the believability of the attraction and the friendship. Even with instant connection, you don't want it to feel like it was just a flash in the pan. You want it to have some legs and some bricks that hold it down and keep it in place. So if you make instant connection too messy with other women drama and all that kind of stuff, it can really deplete the chemistry and the connection. But if two people are destined to love, that they have been, souls passing in the night, moments of sight that didn't come together, you can get a little messy, because in the end, that connection is what's going to drive them together.
I mean, and what was interesting is I don't set out to not write a third act breakup. I don't vilify a third act breakup. I think that if the story takes you there, then that's where you need to be. I understand people who don't like it because of the angst and the ugh. And certainly if it's a miscommunication breakup, I'm not a big fan of that. But like in Tuscany, I needed them to address that kind of thought of miscommunication or choosing the wrong thing or the stupidity of like, why would we break up over this? So they have a 20-minute breakup in the third act. So it's just like
They have a
there's
dark
tensions.
moment. They have a
They
dark
have a dark
moment.
moment.
Yeah. No, and I think that's fair. We all know where I stand. I love a third act breakup. I want my stomach to drop. I want to clench my fists and grind my teeth, because I want to be emotionally invested in these characters. And
Absolutely.
in some of the popular romantic fiction right now that we're seeing, it is vibes over stakes. We aren't getting the gut
Oh, that's
clenches.
interesting.
If you think about people who talk about, I read smut, and they just want the relationship, the swoon, the magic, but we don't get the character arcs or the emotional growth, or we don't get the messy. To me, those books become boring, and they're not even like bad Walmart chips boring. They are like knockoff saltines,
I agree.
like American cheese that's white cheese, but not really white cheese. cheese product?
So this book, which is extremely long, and the dear, dear, beautiful Leah, who I tossed a billion words at her and said, can I have this in like a week and a half? She's like, yes. It's 400 pages. I haven't written a 400 page book since Crossfade. Side piece got close, but this is long. And I kept looking for places to cut. My editor kept looking for places to cut, beta readers, and nobody could come up with anything. And I'm sure readers and other, you know, people will have very different opinions, like, oh, this could lift right out. But for me, it's a different book than what I've written. They're not snarky. They're not, the banter is different. It's very, it's cutesy. She loses the thread of conversation. She's based on a real friend of mine, but she loses the thread of, she knows, of conversations, and it's adorable. And it's like, wait, what were we talking about? And so to do that, and then have somebody who is, I've been told, a stern brunch daddy. But he's a single dad, and he's sweet, and he's such a good dad, and he's the caretaker of the group. They both are, of their groups. And it's the sweetest book I've ever written. Like, they are over the moon with cutie talk, and, like, nothing gag-worthy, I hope, but... It was a very different vibe than Keep Paris, which has like an entire huge section of enemies to lovers.
Right.
And so it's pranks and jabs and, you know, all of these things. And he's out with women and she's out with men. And that's not who Maggie and Colt are. They are, I mean, they binge watch Friends through text because both of them don't want to admit that they've never seen it. So they're like, all right, we're just going to watch it together. But then as friends, they were just friends watching Friends at that point. But I just found that so like incredibly sweet compared to the other like text exchanges that I've written, which were either sexual or banter or jabbing or, you know.
Yeah, snarky and yeah,
witty, sarcastic. And,
yeah.
And just, you know, surfacey, but they're just so earnest in the fact that they're so excited to watch Friends together.
So cute. Can't wait to read it. So Keep Testing Me is out today, August the 26th, 2024. It is available with Kindle Unlimited. So Kelly, everybody can find those, all your books, I think, most of your books, except maybe your novellas, are in Kindle Unlimited.
Holiday Disasters is not. That was co-written with someone else. And Side Piece is currently not in KU because it is free on my website.
Oh, fun. Okay. So what is next for Kelly K Books?
Finishing up the damn winery series. Not damn winery series. I love it. I love the Sonoma series. I love these people, but their story's about to be done. So the last couple from Langerford Sellers, if anybody's ever read any of my books, is Sam, who turned into he had a big old breakup early on in the series, and now gets his second chance. But I have built this to a romantic suspense conclusion, and this is a full-on Ocean's 11 caper book.
Cannot wait.
It's a cast of like thousands.
I love it.
So most of the winery crew is in it. I mean, the core five are definitely like on the hunt for the bad guy. But like Sal and Poppy come back, and Brick and Becca, and the dads are involved. Like,
oh my God.
The dads and one mom who I just decided was in the military. So she's a crack shot. Julie
it.
Newmar.
I love
So I was
it.
like, I don't have any. My core five people of the winery series are kind of soft. They can punch, but they don't have guns. So.
Yeah, no. And like, I think David would just shoot himself in his foot.
Exactly. When you see, oh my God. So I've been watching a ton of caper movies and a ton of like caper suspense books and that kind of thing over the past like 6 months. So that's been my big thing. But all their special skills and stylized, all this stuff, David, and I'm not going to give anything away, but David's really, he knows everything about trains.
None of this shocks me. Did like his little guy fall in love with Thomas the Tank Engine and then he had to learn all the things?
No, he did because when he has my character David Meritage, for those who don't know, he has ADHD and so he hyper
Perf
focuses. And so when he
perfect.
was little, he super hyper focused on
Trains.
trains,
Perfect. Perfect for
which
David.
comes in handy.
That's perfect.
Yes.
Anyway, everybody, you can find Keep Tuscany out now. It is read you can read it with your Kindle Unlimited subscription. Kelly, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with me.
Well, of course. Thank you for having me.
Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.